Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Monday, August 5th. Coming up in today's episode, as Congress labels August 5th a black day, Bharatiya Janata Party responds. Supreme Court's stern notice to Centre and Delhi over student deaths in coaching centre. Delhi High Court on Delhi shelter home deaths. And Army takes control to form interim government as former Bangladesh Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina flees the country. First up, on the 5th anniversary of the abrogation of Article 370 in Jammu and Kashmir, Congress has labelled it a black day. In a post on X, Jammu and Kashmir Congress posted that August 5th, black day for Jammu and Kashmir, our statehood was snatched by the BJP. J&K Congress chief spokesperson Ravinder Sharma demanded accountability from the BJP, and he claimed that the celebrations of the anniversary were downright degrading of a historic Dogra state and alleged that the move had stripped the people of Jammu and Kashmir of their rights, dignity and identity. Slamming the Congress back, Minister Kiran Rijiju replied on X and said Congress party calling 5th August as Black Day isn't correct. Quote, "But the whole nation celebrates August 5th as an anniversary of a historic abrogation of Article 370 in Jammu and Kashmir to make India a nation with one constitution and one flag. Under the dynamic leadership of Sri Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji, many more decisive actions will come to make India a united, strong and fully developed country." Unquote. Meanwhile, the People's Democratic Party in the Valley have criticized the Bharatiya Janata Party and are going to stage a protest outside the party headquarters over Article 370 abrogation. The Valley saw heightened security measures. However, it was not clarified if it was in the wake of Article 370 anniversary celebrations. The Amarnath Yatra from Jammu to Kashmir was suspended for a day, possibly as a precautionary security measure in the wake of the 5th anniversary of abrogation of Article 370. Yatris were not allowed to move from Jammu into the valley, although the authorities did not give any specific reason for the day's suspension of the Yatra. However, Prime Minister Narendra Modi had this to say about the government's decision to abrogate Article 370. "There was complete clarity in my mind that taking the public in Jammu and Kashmir into confidence was absolutely essential for the execution of the decision." The Prime Minister's remarks come in the foreword of a new book titled 370 Undoing the Unjust, a new feature for Jammu and Kashmir. Jammu and Kashmir was brought in line with all other states and union territories of the country through the Jammu and Kashmir Reorganization Act 2019, implemented on August 5, 2019. It repealed all local laws like non-inheritance of properties by daughters, choosing a spouse from outside the state, denial of share from parents' property to married daughters. After the Reorganization Act 2019, the ST status was given to Gujjars, Bakarwals, and SC status to Pahadis and Kadi Brahmins, while Safai Karmacharis and West Pakistan refugees were given land and voting rights. The Bharatiya Janata Party is celebrating Article 370 abrogation as Ekatma Mahotsav, while the Congress has labelled it a black day. Coaching centres have become death chambers and are playing with the lives of children. Supreme Court said today taking suo motu cognizance of the coaching centre basement deaths of three students in Delhi. It also issued notice to the centre and Delhi government over these deaths. The three civil service aspirants had drowned in the basement of a Delhi coaching centre in Rajendra Nagar. It was operating in violation of civic and fire safety rules, which resulted in the flooded basement after heavy rain. During the hearing of the Supreme Court today, the top court accused the coaching centre of playing with the lives of children. The court also demanded to know what rules, if any, had been laid down for coaching centres, of which there are hundreds potentially in Delhi alone, and many of them charge exorbitant fees to prepare IAS entrance students for their exams. The court also said that despite all of this, they operate in unsafe environments. Justice Surya Kant and Justice Ujjal Buen said these places have become death chambers. Coaching institutes can operate online unless there is full compliance of safety and basic norms for a dignified life. Coaching centers are playing with the lives of aspirants. The court said that these norms should include proper ventilation, safe entrances and exits. It also imposed a fine of Rs. 1 lakh on a petition, the Coaching Institute Federation, for challenging a Delhi High Court order to shut down all such businesses that did not pass civic and fire safety checks. Nearly 36 coaching centers were closed. The students' death was a result of drains not clearing stagnant rainwater that was washed back into the basement with sewage and triggered a row over infrastructure in the city. Last week, a city court dismissed the bail pleas of the building's co-owners, noting the matter was out of its jurisdiction following the transfer of the case to a federal agency. There have been massive protests led by student community against the lack of flood control infrastructure. Students have also demanded stricter control over these hundreds of coaching centers, and they want the authorities to ensure that coaching centers do not use basements for libraries or classes. And next, Delhi High Court today said that 14 inmates dying in the city government-run Asha Kiran shelter home for the mentally challenged was a strange coincidence, and directed the Social Welfare Secretary to visit premises on August 6th and file a report. The court noted that nearly all of the dead suffered from tuberculosis. Active Chief Justice Manmohan directed the Delhi Jail Board to test the quality of water in the shelter home as well as the condition of water and sewer pipelines. The court also directed the Delhi Government Social Welfare Secretary to file a report on the conditions of living in the shelter home. 14 inmates, including a child, had died at Asha Kiran in July. The bench, which also comprises Justice Tushar Rao Gedela, said that curative measures were needed in the matter and said if the shelter home was overcrowded, the authorities would decongest it and move some inmates to another facility. Quote, a cursory glance at the summary shows that all deaths were because the patients were suffering from TB and hence they ordered the test of quality of water. Earlier this month, Aam Aadmi Party MLA Kuldeep Kumar had alleged negligence in the centre and urged the Delhi Lieutenant Governor to take action against the officers. He said, and I quote, I want to ask why the shelter home was under an administrator who was arrested by the CBI in 2016 for taking a bribe and remained suspended for 5 years. I want to ask the LG VK Saxena on what basis such a corrupt officer was appointed as the administrator, unquote. Breaking from breaking news, a 6-year-old girl was recently denied a passport because she was named after a trademarked character name. Her mother Lucy told BBC that officials told her that the passport application for a girl named Khaleesi needed Warner Brothers' approval since they owned the name's trademark. Khaleesi is a nickname for Emilia Clarke's character Daenerys Targaryen in the Game of Thrones and the Song of Ice and Fire books. The mother said, I was absolutely devastated. We were looking forward to our holiday together. The family were planning their dream vacation to Disneyland and Paris when the passport letter came in. But Lucy was not letting this go. She called the passport office and demanded an explanation. They apologized for their mistake. She asked if there was something wrong. Why was she not notified when she applied for a birth certificate? Why was something not flagged up then? She asked. The passport office called the woman and apologized for the mistake. They added that there was a misunderstanding. However, she believes it was resolved only after she posted on social media. And now the family can go for their dream vacation to Disneyland. Now back to news. Bangladesh Army has assured a government which will be amenable to all and will be formed soon with the army's help. Army Chief said today while addressing the media. Sheikh Hasina has resigned as Bangladesh Prime Minister and fled the country amid violent clashes between her party, Awami League supporters, and protesters demanding that she quit as protesters stormed her palace, news agency Reuters reported earlier today. News agency AFP also confirmed the news, citing an unnamed source close to the Prime Minister. The source said she and her sister have left Ganbhavan, which is the Prime Minister's official residence, for a safer place. Notably, Sheikh Hasina has ruled Bangladesh with an iron fist for over 3 consecutive terms. Quote, she wanted to record a speech, but she could not get an opportunity to do that, unquote, the source told AFP. Later, the army sources revealed that she was given 45 minutes to resign. NDTV has been tracking a flight which might be hers. It flew over Kolkata earlier today. The army announcement came despite Hasina's son urging the country's security forces to block any takeover from her rule, as hundreds of thousands of protesters demanded her quitting. Quote, Your duty is to keep our people safe and our country safe and to uphold the Constitution, unquote, the US-based Sajib Wajid Joy said in a post on Facebook. Quote, it means don't allow any unelected government to come in power for 1 minute. It is your duty, unquote. Hundreds of thousands of protesters defied curfew marching in the capital street and later storming the Prime Minister's palace. Visuals showed crowd running into the Premier's office in Dhaka, waving to the camera as they celebrated. The anger of students could be seen in footage of Channel 24, where protesters climbed the statue of Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, Sheikh Hasina's father, and attempted to destroy it. Soldiers and police with armored vehicles in Dhaka had barricaded routes to Ms. Hasina's office with barbed wire, AFP reporters said, but the crowd flooded the streets nevertheless and tore down the barriers. Local media estimated as many as 400,000 protesters were on the streets, but it was impossible to verify the figure. This comes as Bangladesh Army Chief Waqir-uz-Zaman addressed the nation after 98 people were killed in fierce clashes yesterday, taking the death count since the protests erupted last month to over 300. Rallies that began last month against civil service job quotas have escalated into some of the worst unrest of Prime Minister Hasina's 15-year rule and shifted into wider calls for the 76-year-old to step down, which she did today. During his televised address to the nation, Army Chief Zaman said the military will form the government, so he requested the protesters to call off their protests and end the violence. Meanwhile, Border Security Force has issued a high alert across the India-Bangladesh border in light of the recent developments in our neighboring country. Earlier, the Ministry of External Affairs had advised all citizens to avoid traveling to Bangladesh and those already there to exercise caution. India has also suspended all train services with Bangladesh in light of recent developments. And lastly, Manu Bhaker's historic double win at the Olympics 2024 has led her to become India's flag bearer for the closing ceremony at the Paris Olympic 2024. The 22-year-old shooter made history for India in Paris by winning two bronze medals in the same games. That's all for today. You were listening to the News with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app.